Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey Mark, I've been saying for years that Ping help you play your best, because that is exactly what they've done for me throughout my entire career. And now I've been having a look at the new Blueprint S and T irons, and boy, they are impressive. So much so that I've got the new Blueprint S irons in my bag at the moment.
So what do you like about them so much? I mean, I've never seen you this excited about a golf club.
Well, I could go through the specs, which are exceptional, but I won't. I will say, though, that if you're looking for more ball speed, and if you want to lower your scores, if you want to mix and match and still look great, you should check them out. Because the new Blueprint S and T irons, they are definitely worth a look.
Nice.
Just book in with your local golf shop or professional to arrange a Ping club fitting.
It's week 12 of the golfing year, and Nick O'Hearn and Mark Allen, well, they're a little bit worn out, but no sympathy here. Nick's been playing Tara Edie in New Zealand, and Mark's been commentating the National at Cape Schanck. As I say, no sympathy. We're live from the Australian Golf Centre, home of Golf Australia and the PGA of Australia, and we're here thanks to the team at Ping. They'll help you play your best. See your local golf shop or professional to arrange a Ping club fitting. And the Golf Clearance Outlet, Melbourne, Sydney, Brisbane, Perth, and online at golfclearanceoutlet.com.au. Okay, let's hook in. Nick O'Hearn and Mark Allen, this is the number one Australian golf podcast, Talk Birdie to Me.
So I don't see a Tara Edie hat, I don't see a Tara Edie shirt, you've got a water bottle that's just a dopey looking orange one. Did you actually buy anything in the pro shop or not? What about my hat? I thought you'd do something for me. Nice to see you.
Good morning, mate. Lovely to see you too. Hey, we know this is a Ping show, you know, Ping global results. I've got to represent the brand.
Yes, I understand.
So, yeah, I did. We did buy plenty from the pro shop. It was a lot of fun.
Did
obviously,
you?
one of those experiences. You know how you probably look back on your life and you go, what are my top five best experiences or trips? And this one is right in there.
So how many times did you play Tara Edie? Last week you told us about TRI North and South. But how many times? And did you win the member guest? Did Nick O'Hearn win the member guest?
Nick O'Hearn wasn't playing.
Oh, okay.
Nick O'Hearn was. And no, we didn't win the member guest. But we had a blast doing it.
Yeah. Now, how do they do it? How do they do their member guests?
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just two rounds and, you know, it's a best ball followed by an Ambrose over there. But how do they do it?
So on the women's member guest, Alana, she was playing with our friend Anne Robertson. I was playing with Mark Robertson.
Yeah.
They're both members over there. So they played a two-day, 18 holes each day, better ball, Stableford.
Right.
And the winner of each flight, because they have six or seven different flights based on handicaps, they go through to the shootout, and then it's an elimination in
nice.
The shootout.
Oh, that's a good
and
one.
The shootout's alternate shot, so that's a bit of pressure in those ones.
The shootout is alternate shot. Foursomes. Wow.
Yes. So, and then on the men's side, what we do is we play 5 9-hole matches or match play against other players in your flight. So Mark and I we were in the top flight, and to Mark's credit, so what happened was the rule that they have over there is the handicap can only be a 10-shot difference between the two partners. Now, I play off plus two. Mark is off a 16, so he had to come down to an 8 handicap. And I said to Mark, Mark, you've always wanted to be a single-figure handicapper. So guess what? This week you are, and I tell you, he played like a single-figure handicapper.
Great.
He did wonderfully. Unfortunately, the first four matches, I played okay and pretty bad and then some good. You know, I was a bit all over the shop. Haven't practiced, as you know, but had a lot of fun. We were 0-4 in our matches, the first four. But you know what? We came home strong. We won that fifth match. And I said to Mark, no one beats O'Hearn Robertson five times in a row.
Very nice. Yeah, I love
That's
it.
That's the famous Vitas Gerulaitis line, if you remember that.
Yeah, who was it? Who was it? Jimmy Connors?
I think it was Jimmy Connors.
No one beats Vitas Gerulaitis 17 there times in a row. Yeah, magnificent. Yeah.
But the whole facility, so we played TRI North and South. And the genius of what they do there is it's obviously a members club, but each day they open one of the courses up to the public. So the north is for the members one day, south is for the public. Following day, it goes the other way.
So
every day it rotates. It is a brilliant system they have. And the other thing over at TRI is they have a restaurant there called Rick's, after Rick Kane, who's the founder of the whole setup over there of Tara Eady and TRI.
I've heard about this putting
green. With a few other guys.
Is that what you're about to tell me about?
Yes.
Yeah, go on, tell me.
The playground. It's about a 2 acre, I think. Putting green is what they call it.
2 acres?
It is massive. I mean, we have the Himalayas out here in front of golf headquarters.
Yeah.
It's four times the size, five times the size of that, I would imagine. I don't know.
Right.
And the best thing about it is all the people, the restaurant there is open to the public, so anyone can come in and eat. And it's kind of like it has a bit of a big barn feel to it. It's
right.
Magnificent with these long benches. The food is unbelievable. The wine is to die for. I can tell you I've overeaten and overdrank the entire week. But they open it up for the public, so the parents are up there sitting there having a beverage, and the kids are all running around doing whatever they want on the putting green, whacking balls with the way. And the smart thing is around the putting green, if they've got these little stands where you can put your drink.
Oh, so good.
So your beer, your wine, your soft drink, whatever it is, while you have a putt.
Free to play?
Free to play.
Now, that's the best bit. You want to get kids in the golf, this is how you do it.
Absolutely.
Make it easy. Make it easy for parents to get their kids in the golf.
But the North course at TRI is a Tom Doak.
Yep.
Sort of runs inland a little. You get a few holes on the ocean. And then the south course is a Core Crenshaw and one of the most enjoyable golf courses I've ever played. It is magnificent.
Okay.
A little easier than the north. The north is tougher. Only opened recently.
Right, I catch it
and
chase.
And then Tara Eady.
Yeah.
Tom Doak course on some of the best land you'll ever see along the water there. Every hole basically has a view of the water. And it's tough. It was firm. It was fiery. The wind, when it got up, it made it very, very interesting. The wind lays low like a typical Lynx seaside course, then it's gettable. But when the wind blows, I mean, I had so much fun. I was hitting 120-meter four irons and things like that, little bump and runs along the ground. And then you'd have 180 meters going the other way and you'd hit a little 9-iron in there.
Yeah.
So much fun. The members were incredible. And it's hard to explain this, but I think one of the best things about these venues, although there aren't these types of venues anywhere really, is when you get there and you asked someone at the club for something or can they do something, you know what the answer is?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. It's never, maybe I'll have
a look. Let me go check with the manager.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's whatever you'd like, we'll do it for you. And the service there is second to none. It was incredible. And thanks to David Fisterer, the director of golf, Matt, the GM, and all the members that welcomed us so much. We had an absolute blast. And it's one of those trips I'll remember for a lifetime.
Well, because you've made me really, really jealous. my top five a little bit later are the top five golf courses I've got to go and play.
Oh, I like that. Well, if that's not on your list, there's something wrong.
There's definitely going to be on the list. Now, last question on it.
Yeah.
A lot of people I trust who go over there, they tell me it's in the top handful of golf courses in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Now, are you going that far with Tara Eady?
Each time I played it, the first time I looked at it, I saw it. It's a very nuanced golf course, and the thing I love about it is it changes every time you play it because the weather can change, the wind comes in, the rain, the pin positions, there's so many different pins on the greens. And every time I played it, I fell more and more in love with it. So that's a sign of a great course. I need to play it a bit more, but my first impressions is, yes, it is up there with some of the best in the world.
A lot of people say that about Royal Melbourne, and a lot of people say exactly the same thing about the old course at St. Andrews. You just need to keep on. The more you play them,
the more
you love them.
Yeah, the first time I saw St. Andrews, I thought, oh, yeah, this looks interesting. And then you go around, you go, okay, yeah, I can see what he's trying to do. And then the next day you go, oh, I've got to hit it over there. Well, that's interesting. And obviously that's my favourite in the world.
Yeah, the wind changes the next day and then all of a sudden there's a different golf course. Yeah, so I've got to get over there, that is for sure.
I do have some Tara Eady memorabilia, don't worry.
Yeah, good. Did you get me a hat or not?
Next time, mate.
I'm not sure whether you got to see the Players' Championship, Nick, but it never disappoints.
I did, yep.
It never, ever disappoints. I reckon there are two tournaments, you know, that there is just drama, you know. I reckon the Open Championship, it's just pure golf. It's the way the game was supposed to be played. The Open rotation golf courses are fabulous. But for tournaments with drama, with tournaments that make you get out of your chair, there are two. And they are played in March and April. And the Players' Championship, You know, even though they had some soft greens this week, apparently they've had a lot of rain in Florida and the fairways weren't really running. But my God, you know, to see Scheffler shoot a 64, and to me, he looks like he's playing with ice skates on. To watch him play and to see him putt with a new putter, and we used this term actually during the weekend at the national tournament, he's right in the middle of a honeymoon period with a new putter.
You know, they're right.
That's what happens. Like, there is a honeymoon period a lot of the time when you get a brand new putter.
Mm-hmm.
But to see the difference in technique when you're in the middle of a honeymoon period, you know, the anxiety has gone from his stroke. He's not using the line anymore on top of the ball.
Saw that.
Yeah. So he's doing a few things like that, and you can just see the change. Now, how long the honeymoon period lasts until he starts going back into old habits, we don't know. But then you throw into the mix, you know, Wyndham Clark, who couldn't get past him at Bay Hill the week before. Schauffele. Thank you. Schauffele.
So I knew you were going to get confused when I saw the leaderboard as Scheffler and Schauffele. I thought, oh, Mark's done.
And then Ricky Ponting in there, little left-handed Ricky Ponting, Brian Harman.
He's painful to watch, though.
Oh, my God, he's painful to watch. But, geez, can he play some of the shots he was hitting. And then, you know, I was flicking from channel to channel, you know, because I do enjoy watching the island hole. So I was going from 505 to 503 because, you know, I wanted to see Åberg come through and a few others. But they kept on saying that nobody has hit it close to this hole.
Mm-hmm.
And then both players, Schauffele and Wyndham Clark, they both birdie 16. Wyndham Clark hit to 11 feet, the best shot of the day, and how his putt didn't go in, I'll never know for eagle. But to see them both hit the best shots of the day when it was required on that hole, that was fabulous.
Mm.
And then the job's still not done, you know. Wyndham Clark birdies that hole. Schauffele was already at 19 under par. And then they have to stand on the 18th tee. Now, I've played that golf course. It's one of the golf courses I've played. And I always tell people that it's the best Queensland golf course you'll ever see, ever. That's how I describe it. It's just a fantastic place to play golf. If you like that style of green, and you know that style of golf, it's the best. But I stood on that 18th tee with, you know, a few old people who were coming to Augusta, and I was nervous as hell. So, well, what's it like standing on that tee?
Horrible.
When you need something to happen, for a lefty, it's the wrong shape for a lefty.
Well, I'm over the ball, and all as I can see, you know, my peripheral vision is the water there, obviously, but. To your point with the golf course and the drama it builds, it was built for this purpose. Yeah. I mean, it is stadium golf at its finest, and it's the best example of the PGA Tour's product that they want to display. That's why they're trying to call it the fifth major. I mean, it will probably never get to that status, but it is held, you know, in very, very high regard amongst all the players, especially the Americans. Other than the majors, what tournament you want to win? Well, you want to win the Players.
Yeah.
For me, it's the Australian Open.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's the same for you. It's the National Open. Yeah.
I want to win the Australian Open or the Australian Masters. Yeah. I would have loved.
But after you hit that tee shot on 16 on the par 5 and you come around the corner and then you see everything in front of you, what's about to happen, you really have to pucker up. I mean, that's probably the best way to explain it, because it's such a tough second. Second shot into 16 if you're able to go for the green. And the walk from the 16th to the 17th is one of the toughest walks in golf because you're trying not to look at that island green. You're just standing, you're walking along going, just breathe, just take, relax. And I think I mentioned a while ago that when I first played the practice round there, I got to that 17th tee and I looked up and I thought, oh yeah, no problem. It's only a wedge, 9 iron, boom, on the green.
Yeah.
First round of the tournament the following day, I've gone, okay, who shrank the green?
Yeah.
Someone's come along here and made this green smaller. All of a sudden, it looked like it was moving in the water because it was a windy day and the waves were flickering. And you go, how the heck am I going to hit this? And
you never hit it in the
and
water.
And I've never hit it. No, I never did. So I was pretty, I don't know how many players championship. I probably played 5 or 6 or something. But
I think the record at the moment hardest is 41 or 42. That's what they'll say.
Really?
Yeah.
I saw through the coverage, they had some, 25 times in a row. It hasn't hit in the water. Guess what?
Straight in
the drink. But it's such a hard finish, especially on a Friday when you're trying to make the cut, if you've got to go par-par or late in the tournament. I never contended at the Players. Middle of the field was probably the best I did. But even when you're middle of the field, you get to that 17th and you just, you almost want it to be over. Yeah. And for me, it really forced me to focus on my mental game and really be strong in that department. So I was able to handle that okay. Other players, they struggle with it. I watched Scheffler those last couple of holes, and he looked like he was just having a walk in the park.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the difference between this guy and everyone else right now. And the scary thing is he ranked 37th in strokes gained putting.
37th,
and he won the golf tournament. You know, he led the field in every other category, normally does. Yep. Last week at Bay Hill, he was 5th in strokes putting. So when he puts, you know, well or half decent, I mean, he was middle of the field, right, with the guys who made the cut, and he won the golf tournament. And you spoke about his putting before. You're right, he looks a bit freer, a bit looser. He's reacting a bit more. I still think there's some tweaks in the setup. For me, because I've been looking at it thinking, what is it that I don't like about going on here? He's twisted.
His
lower body and his upper body are twisted. His shoulders are closed, and his feet are closed and his shoulders are open. Best putters I've ever played with, it's the opposite. The feet are slightly open and the shoulders are not closed, but they're square.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe slightly open, but they're certainly more squarer than the feet.
Yes.
Feet are always open and the best putters in the world. You look at Jack, you look at
Greg,
Ben Crenshaw.
When Greg Norman was absolutely flying with the putter, he was open.
When he set it up in the toe, remember that?
That's right.
Yep.
Yeah, and he had a Ben Crenshaw-style open stance going.
Correct.
And put in the toe and then looped it to the middle. Yeah, he was a great putter when he was going. He was amazing.
I should do that on my masterclass, but I'm not. I'm doing something else of Scheffler's, so we'll talk about that later. But this guy, I mean, he looks like John Rahm now, by the way, with the beard.
Yeah.
I thought I was watching Rahm for a while there.
He does.
But the finish to that golf tournament and all the water and the drama, and they showed the drone shots, it is so unique, and it was one of the great advertisements for the PGA Tour. I mean, they'd struggled the previous few weeks with the field and the finishes and things like that, but this one sets the stage.
Yeah, a lot of people in the Wyndham Clark about the ball moving slightly last week, and our man Stewie, our rules official, Stewie McPhee, sent us a nice email explaining it, and he seemed to think that the ball moved, but there is a camera sort of rule where if it's if you need a camera to see it move, then it's deemed not to have moved. Stuart, I apologise if I've got that wrong, but a lot of people suggesting there's a bit of karma in play with the horseshoe on the 72nd hole. But I want to talk about his third round a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't come with his best stuff on the third round. Hit in the water on 12, trying to go for the green, got up and down for par. Hit it in the water on 17.
That was the shot that cost him.
Yeah. Hit in the water on 17 and didn't miss by a little bit. Mm. I mean, it was a full-on chunk. And because the pin was front left, the drop zone's no good to you when the pin's front left. So he hit again from the same spot and made a 2 with his second ball, which is a 4.
Did you see what he said about his caddy there, John Ellis?
So
he said, I don't want to throw my caddy under the bus, but my caddy said hit a full sand iron and take a little bit off it or something like that. Yeah. He thought it was a flat-out sand iron. The caddy thought to take a bit off. So he threw his caddy under the bus
because
he got to the top of the backswing and thought, oh, take a bit off, and he decelled and chunked it. So
decelling's never
that's where
good.
Commitment is so important in this game.
Yeah, anyway. You got to make it. That's right. Well, it's a good point. Mm. You might as well say you got to make up your mind before you get to the top of the backswing. That's a really important part of golf.
It helps. Yeah.
But anyway, I'm becoming a fan of Wyndham Clark and the way that he plays. He's so strong and. Yeah, I don't know. I think full swing has kind of added to it, you know, watching him talk about his sports psychologist and the way that he's been using that and getting through.
You've watched full swing? I haven't seen it yet.
Haven't you? Yeah,
no, not
I've
the
watched
one.
The first three episodes.
Okay.
I'm not racing for 4, 5, and 6, but I think, you know, the footy started, so it's kind of my spare time at the moment. But I'll get there. I'll watch the rest. I wasn't wrapped with just while we're on full swing. Wasn't very wrapped with JT throwing Mito Pereira under the bus.
I did see a clip of that. Yeah,
at the PGA Champions dinner.
Mm.
I thought that was a little classless.
Yeah, it wasn't great. Well, it depends
on. He was trying to be funny. I get it.
Yeah, it depends on the moment. I think in the moment it was probably a little funny thing, and they all laughed. But when you separate it, then it doesn't look very good.
Yeah, I reckon. You know, I'm not going to hang the bloke or anything.
Yeah.
I love the way he plays, but I reckon if you had your time over again, you knew that was going to go to air. Maybe that's one of those little things you say in private conversations. You know, have a little joke around with whoever is at the at that dinner and say, "Yeah, well, look, you know, a big thanks to Mito for making it all possible." But in the speech, I don't know. Maybe full swing threw him under the bus a bit. Maybe he didn't expect that was going to be highlighted.
Well, you The cameras are always on, just remember that. And the microphone's always on, and you know that
so
better than
tell
most.
Me. Yeah, so they tell yeah. me.
It's like these people in reality TV. You can't complain about what they pull out and put in the promo. If no, you say it on camera, you've got to suck it up.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Now, back to the players, Mark. I was reading a little bit about it afterwards, and Evan Priest, who's the journo over there, he mentioned something. I thought, you know what, that's a great idea. He said this tournament should be the last event of the year. Make it the Tour Championship. What do you think about that?
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Yep. That's what I think. Mm. But I don't think it'll ever happen because they still have dreams of it becoming the fifth major.
Yeah, but they need to realise that's
not going
to
happen.
Not going to happen.
Yeah, no. I don't think so.
No.
Well, yeah, it's funny, you know, when you go back and, you know, because once upon a time, the four majors were the US Amateur, the True. British Amateur, the US Open, and the British Open. So that happened. And I know the story to this. So in 1960, when they were coming into the Masters at the start of the year, the major figures in the golf world press, they just got together and said, okay, let's fix this situation, right? And they said, okay, the Masters, you know, the ones we know today, the Masters, the US Open, the British Open, and the PGA Championship. PGA Championship was probably a major for a little bit longer than the Masters. But it wasn't until 1960 that the US Masters was declared a major.
Really?
Arnold Palmer won that year. Arnold Palmer won in 58, 60, 62 and 64 every second year.
Hmm.
So in 1960, magically, anybody who'd won the Masters before 1960 got a major next to their name. So I reckon probably they're hoping for one day. I mean, the ladies have got five majors. I don't think that if the Players' Championship was in Australia, it would already be a major. I just don't think you can have four majors in one country.
Four of the five, yeah.
No, I don't think that's right. And while we're on the topic of majors, the USPGA, honestly, let's just call it the PGA. There are PGAs all over the world, everywhere. If they just did it every 3 years, played it in Japan, played it in Australia, you know, May's a pretty friendly time for Australia. You know, I think maybe the Victorian courses would be coming into their dormancy, but I reckon the Australian, I reckon you could juice that up for a PGA and maybe make it a par 70 or a 71 and really make it a difficult one. But in May, the Australian is near its best. And if they're going to do it, I think May's, now that it's in, not in August, you know, it's been moved to May.
Then you'd need to probably try and get another tournament in the Southern Hemisphere around it, things like that. I mean, that's the whole global tour talk, isn't it?
That's right. But it would be a dream. It would be a dream for the rest of the world.
For sure.
For the rest of the world, if that PGA Championship could be moved around every 3 years or every second year. Yeah. Every second year would be great. So it goes back to a classical golf club that's hosted PGAs in the past. Is that Valhalla this year, by the way?
Oh, yes. Okay. Yeah. Tiger beat Bob May there back in 2000,
I remember. That's right. Yeah, it was very hot back in those days.
Kenny Perry, did he have a chance to win around there or he won? No, he didn't win a major, did he, Kenny?
But anyway. Yeah, that's in May.
What happened to Rory at the Players, by the way?
I just played average.
Did he?
Yeah, okay. just had an average week.
Oh, right.
No big deal. He played okay.
A lot of balls in the water, I heard.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. Yeah, there was a bit. The Aussies went okay. Yeah. You know, Aberg played disappointingly in the second round, but he's going to win that thing. I'm going to repeat: if you haven't got money on Ludvig Åberg to win a major this year or the Masters or something, I think he's very, very good.
It's funny, each tournament brings back memories for me of my life on tour. I mean, last week it was Bay Hill and the DQ with John Daly.
Yeah.
I just remembered this one. We rented a house near the course and we flooded the house.
What happened?
Well, it was a two-story house, and my coach was over, and I had my parents as well, and the whole family, got the kids and everything. We're all staying upstairs, and the toilet upstairs got flushed at night, and I think they must have had a bit of faulty plumbing up there or something.
Yeah,
there was a certain way to flush it, and anyway, everyone went back to bed, and woke up in the morning and hearing this dripping and going, what the heck? And you walk out onto the balcony there and the carpet's wet and then it's dripping through, the whole bottom floor's wet. Oh my gosh, I don't think we got our security deposit back that week.
I'm enjoying these little stories every week.
Oh, they're fantastic. Oh,
there's plenty of them, don't worry.
Hey, you mentioned Aberg. Have you seen his ranking at the moment?
Yeah, he's top 10 in the
top
world.
Top 10? Yeah. He's gone from like already 400 to 10 in 8 months or something ridiculous.
So he's played a Ryder Cup. He's won in America. He's won in Europe. And he still hasn't played in the major.
Hmm.
I mean, that'll never, ever happen again.
And he's top 10 in the world.
He's top 10 in the world and hasn't played in the major.
It's extraordinary.
He's an extraordinary player. And the more I watch him play, the freedom of the golf swing, it doesn't. They actually made the point, the commentary, that his body doesn't look stressed in any way.
Yeah, it's
not in any way.
It's so repetitive. His angles maintain, but he doesn't look as though he's really bent over or stuck. He just seems tall the whole way through the swing, and that's a great sign.
Yeah, they call him, some of the players who play with him, just a tall Rory, because he just drives the ball that well. We're talking about major championships.
Mm-hmm.
Driving is a big part of it. You know, just getting yourself. I mean, it's like playing from the forward tees. You know, you think yourself, if you play in the Wednesday comp and you normally play from the members' tees, imagine playing from those forward tees. It just helps you. That's basically the advantage that the best drivers in the world have got.
For sure. And he sounds as though he's in that little Scheffler mold where if he putts well, he's going to be up there in the top two or three by the sounds of it every week, because that may be his slight weakness if he does have one. So. Yeah. Just work. Maybe he needs a mallet.
Yeah, that's right. He just needs a little honeymoon. He needs a nice little honeymoon coming up. Big thanks to the Golf Clearance Outlet. You see my shirt today? I'm just going over there.
Oh, yeah.
Just,
well done.
When I leave here, I'm going over to do some more TikTok commercials or wherever.
Oh, good on you.
Right. So I'm over there to do it. But Sam Colosimo, thanks again for the support. It's fabulous. Ping, we'll get to those Ping Global results very, very soon. I saw a lot of players with Ping hats on this week, as it turns out. And also a big thank you to the ability to do this podcast every single week from Australian Golf Headquarters. We appreciate it.
Top five next. What's it on, Mark?
The top five golf courses I've got to play. It's all about me. It's all about me.
It's always all about you.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Now, if you haven't checked out the Golf Clearance Outlet, then you, I can guarantee you this, are missing out. And if you have, well, you know what we're talking about. Great time to drop in, because with all the new equipment released in January, good old Sam at the Golf Clearance Outlet is licking his lips, because the stores are chock full of 2023 branded clearance product. And you know, that was a hell of a year for golf equipment, Nick.
You're spot on there, Mark. There's heaps of gear for righties, of course, but as you know, I am a lefty, so there's a heap of gear for lefties as well, and plenty for both men and women. And if you're after a great Prezi idea, you can get gift cards in-store or online.
So if you're looking for great golf gear and great prices, the Golf Clearance Outlet needs to be in your plans to go and check it out. See the team in-store at Melbourne, Sydney, Brisbane and Perth, or online, golfclearanceoutlet.com.au. It's that simple, Nick.
Can't wait.
Hang on, Nick. I thought you were righty putting now.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
Hey, Nick, I know you've heard of the Watch My Numbers app. It is brand new, and it is going to dominate the golf app scene for a long, long time. If you want to improve your game, you need to know the areas you're doing well in and where you need to improve. And this app will tell you exactly that, Nick.
Yeah, you're spot on, Mark. It's the most powerful database golf app in the world, and it helps analyze and improve your game like never before, because it uses real-time data from your rounds and highlights the areas of your game that you want to look at.
You get actionable and usable info in minutes, not hours. That's really important. It's easy to use. You can set up your profile very quickly. I've done mine. And start accessing data and subscriber-only content straight away.
Hmm. Who's it aimed at?
Well, it's aimed at people who want to improve their game. It's for all levels of
every golfer out there. Particularly powerful if you're a mid to low handicapper, but it's great for the elite level and pros as well.
So elite and pros as well. I like that.
Watch My Numbers. Download it from the App Store and turn your bogeys in the birdies.
Thanks to Ping, they'll help you play your best. And the Golf Clearance Outlet, who searched the globe for golf's best deals. This is Talk Birdie to Me. Now back to Nick O'Hearn and Mark Allen.
Yeah, okay, you know, your head's still up there in the clouds in Tara Eady. You want to keep going with the show, or you're just in dream world?
I'm just reminiscing. I mean, it was such an amazing trip. And it's funny, during those trips, you bump into people that you go, oh, I know you, and I know you, and you recognise them. And it was weird. Yesterday, after the tournament had finished, we had breakfast up at Tara Eady with our friends and bumped into Rob Sitch. He's a ripping bloke. And you know what? Right. You know what he said to me? He says, I love your podcast. Listen to it every week. I'm addicted to it, which is awesome.
Was he being sarcastic?
Well, that's what I thought, but I think he was pretty genuine. And he was playing with he was just there, actually. He didn't play the member guest. He was there with another buddy who's a Cathedral member, Peter Anderson. So anyway, they were up there playing a bit of golf. Saw Andy Lee. He was playing.
I knew he was playing.
He is addicted to the game. And you know what I thought about? Because when they had this big men's shootout at the end, they have... I don't know. I think that's seven or eight groups playing off one tee, and then it's alternate shot.
Yeah.
With so many players, you're actually not quite sure what's going on. I thought of an idea for them. I might put this in a suggestion box, or maybe if they listen to the pod, get someone like Andy Lee with a speaker to commentate it. I think that would be phenomenal. He would be awesome at it. And the other guy I saw who I played a bit of golf with was Kelly Slater was there.
Kelly Slater was there. You're kidding me.
Yeah, I played with him at Cypress years ago, and he's a good golfer. Very good.
You're just moving and shaking, aren't
you? Well, you know.
Rob Stitch, if you listen to this podcast, Frontline, greatest show ever made.
Oh, so good.
Ever made.
Hey, mate, you know it's Sitch, not Stitch, right?
Are you sure?
Positive.
I'm pretty sure it's Rob Stitch.
I'm very, very positive that you are completely incorrect, Mark.
I'll look it up.
Okay. You don't need to bother looking it up.
I'll look it up.
Rob Stitch's name is Sitch.
Mate, I've been watching Frontline for a long time.
It's a great God, he's a funny man, isn't he? Have you seen Utopia, by the way?
Yeah.
No. I'm going
to
have to.
Yeah. Oh, Utopia is so good.
Yeah, mate, just so easy to watch as well. Okay, time for this week's top five. Top five. And selfishly, it's all about me. Okay, I am very jealous of you playing Tara Eady, so I've got to work at looking at the top five golf courses I've somehow got to play. So, at number five, apologies to North Berwick and apologies to 7 Mile Beach that's getting done right now, because I think those two are going to be on my list for a long time. Cabo Cliffs. Just the pictures look unbelievable. I know some people have gone there. It's not like there's a golf course in New Zealand that looks like it's on a calendar. What's that one called? Cape Kidnappers.
Oh, those photos.
Yeah, the photos are unbelievable. I know a few people have played it and said, it's not bad.
Really?
But I know a few people have played Cabo Cliffs as well, and they go, it's unbelievable.
Photos of kidnappers look photoshopped.
Yeah, they
do. That's how good the photos are.
It looks like one of those old golf calendars, you know, the crazy holes. That's what it looks like. At number four, Royal County Down.
Ooh, yeah, that's
I've
on my
never
list.
Played golf in Ireland. Some top 100 golf course lists have this as number one. Others don't. But I want to go and play Royal County Down.
Yeah.
Number three, Tara Eady. The golf course where someone forgot to bring back a hat.
No, I didn't.
So rude.
No, I didn't forget.
At number two, I want to play Augusta. I know it's cliched. I don't care. I want to go there and play the golf course. Yep. I had my chance when I was working for Channel 9 all those years ago. I went to a party instead.
The first time I went to Augusta, I actually didn't play the course. As in, I was playing the tournament. I got there on a Saturday, the weekend before. It's only the members that are out there. It was late in the day. We just arrived.
Yeah.
And all I did was I walked to the 10th tee and I walked the back nine. I just had to see it.
Yeah.
I had to see it. I didn't actually play it the first time I walked around it. So, and it was the most incredible experience. My favorite spot was the 12th green, 13th tee, because you can't get over there unless you're playing.
Yeah, there you go. I remember the first time I saw it, I was playing the Nike Tour, which is the Korn Ferry Tour, back in 1994.
Mm.
I was based in Dallas. I had a week off, so I had to chase where the next tournament was. Anyway, no Apple CarPlay back in those days, so get the map out. You know, I'm going from Dallas to some joint in North Carolina, and I do the finger along the map of the and Augusta is on the way, Augusta, Georgia. So I jump in the car the next day.
Did you try and sweet your talk?
And I got there to, I think it's called Washington Road or Washington Highway, whatever it is. And it's a very obscure little entrance. It's not a big deal. You know, I was expecting something grand.
Yeah, you see the water tower as you're driving up.
Yeah.
And they got, what are they called, the Pinkerton guards?
Yeah. Mm. Anyway, I got to the front and I said, hey, mate, and I had my Nike tour card ready to show him. I said, mate, I'm from Australia. And I went through the whole spiel and this guy at the front goes, you didn't really think you're going to get in here. Like that. Anyway, it was dusk and I took my rental car and I just started driving around, you know, trying to, yeah, look, at one stage, I must have been around the fourth or the fifth hole, and I was standing on the top of the car looking in. And because it was the middle of summer, they actually had little tents on every green because it's a winter-only golf course. Mm. Once summer comes, they shut the joint down. It's too hot. And the locals, by the way, there's only one week of the year the locals call it Augusta, and that is Masters Week. For the other 51 weeks, the locals call Augusta Disgusta, because it is so hot, so dirty, not much of a joint.
Wow.
Anyway, I was amazed that, you know, they had these tents over every single green. Anyway, that's the first time I saw the joint.
You said a moment ago you could have played Augusta, but you went to a party instead.
Yeah.
Now, you have told this story before, but for people who haven't heard it, you can't just drop that line and not explain what it means.
Righto. So I was on the Channel 9 commentary team.
Part of the media pool. Is that what it was?
Well, listen to this. I was on the Channel 9 commentary team, and Gary Burns was the head of Channel 9 Sport at the time. So it's a better story. So apparently the year before, Kenny Sutcliffe called Ben Hogan's bridge Tom Hogan's bridge. Anyway.
Well, yes, he didn't call
Kerry
it Paul.
Packer, the late Kerry Packer, said, well, that's it. That's the interview, Kenny. You're not back on the plane. So I had just started working on 3AW. I was just the golf correspondent. Ian Johnson used to listen to 3AW. He goes, I've got the person for you. So I had to go up to Channel 9 to do a rehearsal to try out for this spot. Anyway, I get up there and they want me to do a piece of the camera. Now, I've only ever done a little radio bits. So I don't know what I'm talking about. So I get in front of the camera and they go, okay, you got to pretend that Greg Norman's coming from behind and yeah, blah, blah, blah. Okay. Well, I can't wait for the day. Greg Norman's an exciting player and, it's the exciting golf that he plays. And wouldn't it be exciting if – and they stopped it. And they said, hey, listen.
How many times do you want to say exciting?
You've got to use your vocabulary, okay? You can't just say the same thing over and over. Anyway, he goes, let me just get somebody down from upstairs and they can help you. And he just sit over here. I sit over there and the guy comes out and goes, it was Richie Beno. So Benno.
Wow.
Was there, and now he's charged with teaching me how to do a piece of the camera. So it was very surreal, the whole thing. Anyway, I finally did one that was half decent. Then they had to send that cassette up to Kerry, who was upstairs, and Kerry Packer had to tick me off. Anyway, 15 minutes later, it was all ticked off, and I was on a plane 2 weeks later to go over. Anyway, first week I was a little bit nervous. First day I was a little bit nervous. Round two, I pretty much had this commentating gig. It was pretty easy after that. Round three, Gary Burns came up to me and he said, hey, listen, we really like what you're doing. We want you to be our golf commentator. He goes, most of the media go into the draw, but because we pay for the rights, we get a spot on Monday. We want you to play. And I hadn't brought my clubs. It was a really wet year. That year was so wet. And I said, oh, fantastic. I'll play. Beautiful. You know, I called my friends in Dallas because I was going to stop in Dallas on the way home. And they said, no, you can't play. I said, what are you talking about? He goes, mate, we've got a reunion for you. Everyone's flying in from all over the place. So then I've got to go back to Gary Burns and say, Gary, this is the story, right? This is the story.
And he's going, are you serious?
He's gone. He is completely the opposite. He goes, mate, don't worry about a thing. He goes, bring your golf shoes, bring your clubs next year. You've got that Monday spot.
Oh.
Beautiful. Anyway, so I call him, mate, go to the party on the Monday. It's a great party. Next year rolls around. Gary Burns got the sack at Christmas. Next year rolls around. There's a new Gary in place. I've called him going, this is the deal, mate. This is the deal. He goes, yeah, you're right. 2 weeks before Augusta, the Iraqi war breaks out. Got a phone call saying, oh, listen, mate, we're just sending a skeleton crew. We're just going to take the feed. We're putting all our resources into this. So my one chance to play Augusta was blown because I went to a party.
Yeah.
That might be the longest story I've ever heard for a non-golfing event.
I apologise. So Augusta at number two, and my number one, Pine Valley. I want to play the number one golf course in the world, so I'll get there at some stage.
As do I.
Sorry about the long top five.
No, that was good.
It was very funny.
Can we just quickly talk about the national tournament? A terrific season ender, and well done to Cameron John, who really hung in there. But I want to say well done for the season. You know, it was very, very good. The season was fabulous. New winners, Kazuma Kobori, just everything they did matched up well for where this tour is headed. And some fabulous news, too, at the end of the broadcast that we did on Fox Sports. Nick Dasty came out and said next year is going to be bigger and better than ever. So
more tournaments.
More tournaments. Fingers crossed, more money for the players. So it's all headed in the right direction. So well done to the PGA and PGA TV and Jam TV. We really appreciate the opportunity to talk about golf. We love it, you and I, Nick. And well done to Stacey Peters and Jimmy Emmanuel and everybody else. It was just great.
That's a great lead into the Ping Global results. Nick, you ready to go?
Okay, I'm ready. Events going on around the world this past week. The main one was at Tar 80, but I will go through some of the others.
Please.
I'm not going to go through ours, actually. The Players' Championship, obviously. Scottie Scheffler with a sore neck, mind you.
Yeah.
Did you see that? He had the kinesiology tape on the back of his neck.
He was hitting the ball. Golfer.
Sorry, yeah. He was hitting the ball 20 yards shorter than normal, taking extra clubs into greens. He actually felt probably like what we'd normally feel like. But he still led the strokes gained off the tee to green, the driving accuracy, all that sort of stuff. Final round 64, and he defeated Wyndham Clark, Scottie Scheffler, and Brian Harman by one. First time I think they've had a 1-2 consecutive weeks, as in Scottie Scheffler was one, Clark two, last week at Bay Hill, same thing this week at the Players, so amazing. Mm. On the Aussie front, Jason Day tied for 35th, Adam Scott 45th, and Minwoo Lee 54th. So not so much of a great outing for the Aussies. Did you see Ryan Fox, by the way?
Eagle
on 16, hole in one on amazing. 17. Back-to-back Eagles.
Nice.
And then he unfortunately missed the cut, though. So that was a tough one.
He had back-to-back Eagles and missed the cut.
Yeah, he shot four over the second day, unfortunately. It is what it is. But as you mentioned, Cameron John, three-shot win over Daniel Gale. Down at the National, congratulations to all the staff down at the National. I'm a member down there, and it is a phenomenal facility. Josh Younger tied for third, which actually got him inside the top 50, didn't he?
Yeah.
On the order of merit, so he doesn't have to go back to Q school.
I think he was playing on an injury card. He got a lot of starts because of his injury. So actually to do that and get into the top 50, it's a mighty effort.
Yeah, very impressive. And also Aaron Townsend finishing in a tie for third as well. The order of merit was decided. Kazuma Kobori, the three DP World Tour cards was Kazuma, Daniel Gale and Brett Coletta. Matty Griffin just missed out, unfortunately. The top 50, the bubble. We always love to see those bubbles, right?
Yeah.
Darcy Brereton finished 50th.
Good on you, Darcy.
Right on the bubble. But Jack Monro, 51st. Kit Biddle, 52nd. Aaron Townsend, 53rd. He almost made a late run, didn't he?
Yeah, stiff boys. Bad luck.
Asian Tour, they had the International Series in Macau. I don't know if you saw. I watched a bit of the highlights just trying to
just
catch up on
bit.
This.
Yeah, just a little
John
bit.
John Catlin shot 59, third round. First,
ridiculous.
59 on the Asian Tour.
It's an 11 under 59.
11 under 59.
So that's
does it really count?
That doesn't really count. Doesn't count.
Asterix. Taylor Gooch will be happy. but he defeated David Puig, who shot a final round 60, by the way, on the second playoff hole.
Good player, this Spanish kid.
He is. He's winning a lot of stuff. He plays for the Fireballs, I think, on the LIV Tour. But Catlin missed a five-footer on the final hole to win, and then he got an amazing break on the first playoff hole. Ball was going out of bounds, hit something, stopped, stayed on a cart path, and then all of a sudden he's got to drop it next to the green. It was one of those TIO reliefs that you really love.
Yeah.
You know, he was 40 yards away, now he's 20 yards away. Thank you very much. But ended up winning on the second playoff hole. Really good week for Lucas Herbert. Just finished two shots back of the playoff in third position. New Zealand's Ben Campbell finished 5th, Maverick Antcliffe 10th, and Travis Smyth, Ping's Travis Smyth, 14th. So he just plays so well up there in Asia, doesn't
he?
Playing some very good golf. On the Challenge Tour, they were in India for the Delhi Challenge, and Ping's John Parry shot a 65, coming from three shots back to win. Young Hayden Hopewell Finished tied for 17th, the West Australian, so good result for him. And finally, on the Epson Tour, they were in Florida, where Taiwan's Jessica Pang had a one-shot win over American Lindsay McCurdy for her first win on the Australasian front. New Zealand's Fiona Xu. I'm mentioning all the New Zealanders today because I was just in New Zealand. She finished tied for 15th, and Cassie Porter tied for 23rd, and that is your Ping Global results for this week.
Also mentioning an awful lot of Ping players as well, Nick, because they are killing it.
Certainly are. That driver, it's leading the way.
Yeah, yeah. All right, what's the feedback, boys?
Yes, please.
Okay.
Only the good stuff.
What's that look on your face for, mate?
Just the good stuff.
Well, there's a bit of a bit of a whack for you guys.
Oh, another one.
Top five last week on the lefty-righty conversation. Yeah. Andrew Huntley reckons we missed one.
Who?
David Graham.
Never saw him play left-handed.
Turned pro left-handed, won two majors right-handed.
Correct, Wayne.
There you go. And now, in all due respect to David Graham, it was a shocking right-handed swing. No, he was a grinder, that's for sure.
I reckon I might have seen him hit some left-handed shots. Once upon a time at the Australian Masters when it first started, I was a member at Huntingdale.
Did he swing it better than right-handed?
Well, not that I can remember. I was a kid, but they used to do these on Saturday nights. They would get all the big stars and they would do clinics on Saturday night.
Well, for kids?
For everybody.
Well, for anyone.
For everybody. So
Third
round had finished, and then the announcement would go down to the driving range for the clinic, and Greg Norman was there, and Seve Ballesteros would hit one irons over the back fence off one leg and then change the other leg and hit one iron over the fence off one leg. The guy called Lindsay Stephen, late Lindsay Stephen, he used to do these amazing impressions of players. He'd do David Graham, and David Graham would laugh. And then I remember Bernard Langer was showing people how to spin a golf ball. He was fizzing. I just couldn't believe the spin he would get. But David Graham, I can remember him hitting some shots left-handed and wowing everybody, because no one had, at that stage in the 80s, no one had ever seen that before.
No.
Somebody actually hit, you know, five irons one way and then grab a left-handed five iron and hit it just as well. And it was pretty rare.
He was one of the best ball strikers as well that you'll ever see, and the ultimate competitor. I mean, his golf swing, it actually reminded me very much of Raymond Floyd.
Yeah.
And both of those players, they were so gritty.
He had the same rhythm as Raymond Floyd. Mm. And he had one of the most storied final rounds of a US Open ever. I think he missed the first fairway by an inch or two, and then hit every other fairway and every green on the day.
Mm. Marion?
Marion, yeah. It's one of the greatest ever US Open rounds.
You mentioned Kibori before. Mm. Ashley Washington has written in and said, I reckon Kibori right now is the best putter on the planet.
I think you could be right. I don't see anyone with a stroke as good right now.
Yeah, and by the way, he's doing it when he wins. You know, there's probably a few guys doing some good putting when they're not hitting it so well and finishing 25th. But he's doing his putting when he's winning tournaments. So, yeah, there's merit in that for sure.
Paul Bolster was watching your coverage on the weekend at the National, Mark, and he said, how good did the National look at the weekend? Amazing.
Yeah, the Nash is good.
Always does, doesn't it?
Yeah. I'm sure they did some drone shots and that.
Yeah, right? Amazing.
I mean, they are stunning.
Although they showed the body of water next to the National, and at first I called it, I thought it was Port Phillip Bay, but it was Bass Strait. And I said next stop was New Zealand.
How are you going?
Right. And then I changed it to next stop being Tassie. And now I got that much feedback that I actually went to a map. If you go perpendicular from the National, the next stop is actually King Island. So I got it all wrong. I apologise.
Now, we were talking about New Zealand courses a couple of weeks ago. Well, I think it might have been last week as well. And Brad Dalton reckons we missed a really good one. The Bay of Islands course is what he's talked about.
Okay.
I don't know if you guys know. Now, the thing is, in the Bay of Islands, there's a bunch of golf courses there. I think he might mean the one at Kerikeri, which is
Kerry Cliffs. I think there's a course at Kerry Cliffs, and it's in the middle of the Bay of Islands.
Yeah.
And it is a beauty.
So it's just north of Paia.
That's it.
Which is a beautiful part of the world. You know the thing about the Bay of Islands too? A lot of the houses there get their mail delivered by boat.
Yeah.
Mm.
It's amazing.
Actually, that's the course I want to play. So I want to play Taree and let's play Kerry Cliffs as well.
Okay.
I think we need to have a Talk Birdie to Me tour. Let me just go to work on that.
We might need to get a helicopter sponsor.
Talk Birdie to Me, Taree, Kerry Cliffs.
TRI.
TRI tournament. We could have a four-rounder.
Ooh.
A four-rounder would be good.
Whilst we're in New Zealand, I don't know how to. I'm not sure how to say this name. I apologise in advance. Geert Kayerts, I think, might be the name.
That'll do us.
Geert has said, "I was a caddy at Tara Edie when I lived in New Zealand, and no words or images can even come close to describing that place."
That's the other great thing about those two courses, Tara Edie, TRI, the caddies. They're unbelievable. So you have a caddy with you the whole way around. So you just walk, you know, away you go. There's no motorised carts, anything like that. It's walking courses. And a lot of these people are local New Zealanders, but a lot of them from the US and around the world. And they you know, caddy at Bandon Dunes, come on down and do the New Zealand stint.
That's amazing.
And then they go on to wherever they go from there. So
good
brilliant.
On. Mm.
Matt Swanee wrote in, old mate Keith Pelly, who you talked about last week, did leave his mark on the game. He sold the DP World Tour down the river just as badly as Jay did, and turned it into a feeder tour for the PGA.
I'm not necessarily against the feeder tour. I mean, when I was dreaming of being a professional golfer of note, I would have loved to have started at the European Tour and finished up on the US, as Nick did. I think a lot of people do, and I think a lot of Europeans do. And there's no doubt about that, because there are lots of Europeans playing. I mean, who's the French dude?
Pavon.
I mean, he's now, I think he's either first or second on their FedEx Cup chase.
Top five, anyway.
And he did that off a top 10 exemption. So I know it's a feeder tour to the PGA Tour, but it's kind of where you want to end up.
Oh, I've got a course for you for your top five you missed. Yeah. I'm just going to say it now, by the way, to play, because one of my opponents in the member guest was Pascal. I didn't catch his last name, but he was the he heads up the French Golf Federation, and he's a member at Morfontaine.
Oh, that one's unbelievable.
I've never been there. So. Yeah. You played it?
No, I've only seen pictures,
okay.
But
well, top six
apparently
now.
It's unbelievable.
Hang on, what's it called?
Morfontaine.
Okay. Right. It's a bit of a heathland course.
It looks that way. Yeah, I've seen pictures, yeah.
It's a beauty.
We put a poll up this week on Live Adelaide, just asking people's plans. Are they going to watch? Are they going to go? Do they care? Whatever it may be. I'll give you the poll results in a moment. Buffalo Ben wrote, "It's more impressive to win a four-round event with 156 guys and a cut than a three-round event with 48 blokes. That's a fact." So obviously not a Live fan. Yeah.
Not a Live fan, and I agree with your sentiment.
Go You Good Things said, "I'm going to be there again for the entire three days.
Yeah.
And Daniel, who is a Live fan, so he's the opposite to Buffalo Ben, Daniel has said, "This is everything we should have had in Australia. The PGA Tour kept taking away all the star power, left our tournaments in ruin, but finally a tour that contracts players to events, meaning we know who is coming to play. This model makes sense."
What's his name? Well,
Daniel.
Daniel, stay tuned, Daniel, because we're organising a round table with James Sutherland, with Gavin Kirkman, with Karen Lunn, so, and you and I.
Beautiful.
We're getting rid of you for the...
Okay. No. Didn't know that, but that's
sorry,
good.
Sorry, Dan, but we're getting rid of you for the round table. That's in the middle of being organised.
Fantastic.
Stay tuned.
Okay, you want the poll results?
Yes, please.
The question was this. The Live Adelaide event was a real spectacle last year. It's back in a few weeks. What are your plans? 8% said, "I'm hoping to go."
Mm-hmm.
17% said, "I'm definitely going."
Yeah.
17% said, "Live's not for me."
Yeah.
And 58% said, "I'm going to be watching on TV."
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, very good.
Pretty interesting.
Yeah.
It was massive down here last year. It was their biggest event of the season, and they just need to replicate that somehow for the rest of their events.
So. I've got friends who went, and it wasn't the best golf event they've ever been to. It was the best sporting event they've ever been to.
Yeah. Brady said, "Hi guys, enjoy the pod. Any tips on how to avoid choking? Every time I'm on a good score or I'm beating my mates, I tend to cough it all up. How do you guys handle choking?"
See, I would like to give a tip on choking, but I was a world champion. So over to you, Dick.
You let strokes gain, didn't you?
Choking.
Don't worry, I gagged a few away myself for sure. But the best thing, not the best thing, but the... how you have to process it in your mind is really to take the result out of play, because that's what choking is you start losing your breath pretty much. You know, it's the old adage of feeling as though you're being gagged. So the shortness of breath, the nerves, and for me, I always say, look, pressure is a made-up word, because you're thinking about a result, and the result is a negative one, obviously. You're worrying about what may or may not happen, and usually it's bad things that come. So the best thing to do is trying to bring your mind back into the present. How you do that is really up to yourself. For myself, I used to focus on breathing. You know, I used to do like a body scan technique. I always found that great, where I'd do 7 breaths over my entire body, start at the top of the head, work my way down. And after the 7 breaths, 2 things happen. You're not worried about choking, or worried about your result or the score because you're thinking about breathing, okay? And number two is you feel much more relaxed because you've done some nice slow breathing for about 10 to 15 seconds. So that's a really good little thing to do there. And then every shot, just treat it on its merits, and just the result will be the result.
Can I give you a little story about what an AFL coach did for his players once? Alan Jean's a legendary coach, used to coach the Hawks. He had this long plank of wood, and at training, he got everybody to walk over the wood. And, of course, it's pretty easy when that plank of wood's on the ground. He went upstairs, he put it up, he said, pressure is only about consequences. You think about the consequences, that makes walking this plank of wood difficult. No player went across, of course. It was just a demonstration.
Yeah.
He said, but, I think the next message was, don't worry about the consequences.
Yeah.
You know, I just want you to play football. But it's a very good lesson. That's all pressure is.
The best athletes in the world, they're not worried about the result.
No, they don't care.
You know, Michael Jordan in basketball, he didn't worry about missing a shot. He just tried to make it, basically, and focused on the process. Tom Brady in the NFL, Tiger Woods in golf, you name it.
Yeah. Another one, don't start thinking about your winning speech anytime soon. That's a really bad thing to do. Don't think it's the right thing to do just to get it out of the way like I used to. Just play.
I can second that as well.
So. Final bit of feedback, which is a question for both of you. This is from Greenkeeping Rooster. Hey, yeah. Mark. Hey, Nick. They're playing at TPC Sawgrass last week. In my humble opinion, I think TPC is a better layout than Augusta. What do you guys think as to which is the better layout?
No, I think Augusta. Well, I don't know. I haven't played Augusta, but I think Augusta's a better layout. But, my God, both courses just give you what you want in a tournament when you're sitting at home, and that is drama.
Exactly. Augusta, for me, I love the rolling hills, the design through the, what was it, a pine plantation originally,
I think? Yeah, something like that.
Something like that, whereas Sawgrass is completely manufactured, and I get it. I mean, it's built for stadium golf and for drama, so they do that job very nicely. It just depends on what you like out of a golf course.
Scottie Scheffler, the first player to win back-to-back titles too in the 50-year history, in the 50th year. So.
Yeah, I forgot to mention that.
Yeah, so did I.
Hey, by the way, before the masterclass, I've realised a tremendously awful oversight.
Oh, okay.
Donald Trump yesterday won the club championship and the senior club championship at whatever his course is called.
Did you leave that out of the Ping Global results, Nick?
How many people were playing out of interest?
One.
I think it was the over 75 category of club championship. I think some clubs have the 40 and overs, 50 and overs, 60 and overs. It's a good way.
You know, I actually think it was, you know what it was? It was the club where only presidents can play.
Oh, is that it?
He was the only one there, I'd say. So.
Yeah. All right, time for the masterclass.
All right, this week's masterclass, Scottie Scheffler. What a ball striking machine this guy is. And if you actually watch him play, you think, how the heck is this guy number one player in the world? His feet are dancing, they're moving all over the place. But the one thing he does exceptionally well is he transitions his weight into the ball beautifully. It's going towards the target. So many amateurs that I see that play, various friends of mine especially, they hang back on that downswing, that transition mover. Scottie Scheffler, he is sliding to the left. I mean, he over-exaggerates the slide, and you see his right foot every now and comes up off the ground and almost goes behind him. Sometimes he spins out, but if he does lose his balance, he loses his balance going forward, and that's the most important thing in the golf swing. It's like throwing a ball. You don't hang back when you throw a ball. You transition your weight through to your target. So a good little drill is the old simple Gary Player step drill, where you hit a shot and you walk out after the ball. That'll get your weight going towards the target. You'll compress the ball a little bit more. You won't chunk the ball. You won't hit behind it or thin it and bounce into the ball because your weight's hanging back. It'll get you going towards the target, and I'll post a video on socials on how to do all that.
Can I add my two cents to
your
magnificent tip, masterclass? A lot of people doing it too. When they try to move their weight to the front foot, if the ball's too far back, it'll never work.
Correct.
It'll never actually work. So if it's not working for you, try to move the ball a little bit forward, and that may help.
I like that as well. That's good. It's hard to go forward when you've got to hang back to get
when you've got
to
hang back to
behind the ball.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, well, that's it, guys. It's good to have everyone back in the same room. Nick, glad you got back safely.
Certainly did. And yeah.
Thanks for the hat.
Yeah, no worries at all.
Yeah, maybe the hat, maybe it's the next time thing.
That's it.
Maybe.
It's a sore point, yeah. Believe me.
Okay.
I don't, want a ball marker either. I want a hat.
I was thinking of you when I was having that New Zealand peanut.
Yeah, I bet you.
Oh,
see you later.
There you go.
Thanks for being part of Talk Birdie to Me with Nick O'Hearn and Mark Allen. And if you want to be part of the show, drop us a message or comment on the socials. Or you can send an email or leave a voicemail at talkbirdietome.com.au. Thanks to the great team at Ping, they're the best in the business and they'll help you play your best. And the Golf Clearance Outlet. If you're after top quality at prices you won't beat, check them out. golfclearanceoutlet.com.au. Talk Birdie to Me's executive producer is Dan Bradley at Kaizen Media. Sound design, Daryl Misson at loudzebra.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.